I think with all the bands, I think the sounds are individually moulded by the engineer or the producer that they're using. I do know of engineers and producers, though, that actually can tell, they listen to an album and they know which studio and which room it was recorded in. So obviously, you know, there are merits within different tracking rooms and different control rooms that do affect the sound. So I think it's very important that you do have like a true control room for listening, and you have a great, great sounding tracking room.
It seems that being a great live band and a great touring band and embracing that is absolutely reflected in the recording studio. Their records have such a live feel to them. It doesn't feel like a processed thing at all. It's very organic. I think that's the nature of their music, is very organic. And so it comes across so well live and so easily translated in the studio. And because they love to tour and they tour so much, it does just generate, you know, their chops are constantly, you know, being worked. And so when they come to the studio, they're ready to go.
The way we went to create this record, Hybrid Theory, is I listened to Craig David's record. It's not available in the US, but I was able to procure a copy, and I listened to it over and over and over again, really trying to get into what is garage, because I'd never heard of this term. So after studying the Craig David record over and over and over again, I just started really not just feeling garage, but really being garage.
I think when bands do record an album, if they haven't recorded before, I think when they go into a studio, it can be fairly intimidating and a little overwhelming with the possibilities. I think on the first album, that can show sometimes. However, you do get that inexperienced thing where it's fresh and it's new. By the time the second and third album, sometimes they spend too long and they nitpick too hard. So I think after a few successful albums, sometimes they keep questioning themselves of whether they're going in the right direction. Whereas in the first album, there tends to be, well, this is it, you know, they don't think too hard. And they're overwhelmed by everything else going on. So I think sometimes first albums are really good, they're really fresh.
This fine collection of material was recorded and produced to make the band's debut LP, Hybrid Theory, in tribute to their old name. It was finally released in January 2001, and you metalheads couldn't get enough of it.
I think that their music is really good, but the words, like, together is, like, it's, I can understand it. Like, every song that they have on their latest album, like, I understand everything that they're saying, and I can, like, understand, I don't know. I, like, can put the words together, and it means something to me, and it can have something to do with my life.
So far off the Hybrid Theory album, I think my favorite song is Crawling. It's a fantastic song. The video is great also, and it works to get you motivated and to get you pumped, and it's really fun to sing along with and to scream along with.
Actually, it's the words, like, whatever they say, like, I can think of a story about in my life, and I can, like, put it together, and I can be like, oh, this reminds me of that, and that's why I listen to it. The fact that they're not, like, bleeped out on the radio and that you can't understand what they're saying is, like, a plus, but I have their album, so either way, like, it wouldn't really matter to me. I definitely think it'll be, like, one of my, like, favorite albums of all time. Because, like I said earlier, that's, like, on that album, I like every single song on that track. And that's really hard to find. There's only been, like, maybe two or three, and, like, that I've had an album that I like every single song, and I'll definitely be keeping that one.
Now, Linkin Park was used to touring, but after the launch of their debut album, things went crazy.
Okay, I went this last April to Hollywood Palladium to go see Linkin Park, and they were starting up, like, the bands before them, and my friend had smuggled a joint in there, so she was smoking, she handed me the joint, and I picked it up, and before you knew it, two security guards like grabbed us. They threw us in the back, and they kicked us out. So we had to watch the rest of the concert from like outside, where we can hear them, but we didn't like get to see them before. Well, as they were like playing, like they were really lively and they were really entertaining, moving around on the stage. And when we had gotten kicked out, they had opened the doors and the concert ended and they were signing autographs to people. I thought that was really cool because it was at the Hollywood Palladium and it's pretty small. So I thought that was really cool that they stayed around after putting on a show to sign autographs to people.
We're there to play for like our fans, like our hardcore dedicated fans and supporters, and we want to be able to chill with them afterwards. Like, we're no better than they are. And so we want to make that really clear too, like after the show, we're not like these big freaking rock stars, you know what I mean, that like want to go and hide afterwards. We're not about that. Like, we started playing music for fun and for our friends, and like when it stops being fun and about like having that type of camaraderie with like the people we're playing for, then you might as well not do it.
It can get a little weird out there on tour. Brad Strange's request was for Linkin Park's pubic hair. In fact, the fans in the UK had even brought tape to put it on. Just goes to show those Brits are mad.
A couple of kids wanted samples to take home of our pubic hair. They had a piece of tape and they were like, can we get some?
Yeah, because they wanted to like clone us. Would they have the opportunity in the future?
I wonder if you clone some pubic hair, if you'd have a clone that was like more pubic.
No, I usually don't like going into mosh pits. Mainly because I don't like being groped by a bunch of big hairy guys with no manners.
The band carried out incessant touring with bands such as Deftones, POD, and Papa Roach, as well as headlining major dates of their own. They also played on Ozfest and the Family Values Tour in 2001.
It seems to be the ironclad rule in America. This relentless tour, and it pays dividends. I mean, Linkin Park, you know, they probably haven't been home for going on 2 years. Incubus, the strains of touring sent them into therapy. So yeah, I think Pete Yorn has been played here 5 times this past year. They're working him like a racehorse.
I think it's the need to, well, they want to have a presence with their fans, you know, in the best part of the sense. Maybe they actually enjoy it because they want, you know, they want to give it for the fans, and fans love to see their bands live, and some bands actually are better live than they are on the record. So I think that importance from like the good side of it is that maybe they really enjoy at least seeing their fans and getting out there. But then there is the other side where you work too much and you have to do it because the second single was released, and it could be taxing. But I think that plays with the fact that you're working a radio hit and you're also doing everything marketing to keep yourself, you know, up there.
Chester came back into the dressing room without basically shoes or clothes or anything left of him after like we kind of chilled with the audience and stuff. And he was like, you know what? People were so polite about taking my stuff that I gave it to him.
Touring is one of the hardest things to do. I mean, people have no idea. Of course, there's glamorous aspects of it. You know, when you're on stage, it's great, but you're on stage for an hour or 2 hours out of a day, and the rest of it is grueling, grinding, traveling, different beds, never being able to open your own refrigerator, and, you know, having to scrounge for everything in towns that you're unfamiliar with. On the other hand, there's a lot of adventure to it, and you know, I mean, at first it was just really, really great, and toward the end of my touring thing, it just became more and more difficult. And you know, you grow up, you get family, and that kind of thing, and so now then you have those long distance relationships that are very, very difficult to maintain. So, you know, maintaining a relationship on tour is really hard.